Welcome to Alert and Oriented, conversations about God between friends. Join Gary Barkalow and Sam Williamson as we talk about real life with the real God, really.
I grew up in Detroit. I grew up in a big transition time. There was a lot of violence. I was mugged 15 or 20 times. And I thought I was brave, courageous, tough. And I remember going on a retreat once to happened to be housed in a major state university. And I went with some of my friends to the swimming pool during a break, and we jumped off the diving board. Then we jumped off the 3-meter board. Then somebody said, let's go up to that 10-meter platform and jump off. And I said, yeah, because, you know, I'm the courageous one, right? So me and a couple or two or three friends troop up the ladder or the steps. We get up to the platform. I walk to the edge. And I look down, and you're not only looking down 30 feet, but the pool is probably 15 feet deep, and the water's crystal clear, so it looks like it's forever down there. And I just couldn't do it. You know, I walked to the edge of the platform, I'm just going to jump, and I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, this is scary. Now, eventually, peer pressure and everything got me to jump off the platform, and I never did it again. And I'm not even that afraid of heights, I don't think, but I remember thinking that courage isn't just doing things that other people think are scary, but real courage is doing what I think is scary. Real courage, in a certain sense, is facing my deepest fears. In fact, I know that there are recorded instances of men in World War II who chased down, you know, machine gun nests and, you know, got Medal of Honors or got medals for bravery. But when they came back, they were afraid to ever admit they were wrong, or they were afraid to admit that they were alcoholics, or they were afraid to admit they needed help. And so courage isn't necessarily doing something that other people think is fearless. Courage is usually the thing that's facing our own personal deepest fears and doing the right thing.
So it's like that quote we've all heard before from Winston Churchill, which says, success is not final, failure is not fatal, it is the courage to continue that counts. This idea that you in the face of fear, you just continue on and do what needs to be done. I've had people tell me in my life, you know, they've said, you know, Gary, your bark is worse than your bite. Which means, because I'm talking and I'm saying, you know,
I've said that to you.
Yeah,
I've
think, said I know. That to you. I know you've said it to me. So has my wife. I know. So only two. Let's say that only two people have said that to me. But, you know, I may be in a situation saying, you know, someone needs to tell this person such and such for their own good. And no one's telling them that. And you know what? Maybe I'll go tell them that. And then when I get to them face to face, I can't quite say it to them, right? So I'm good at barking until I face the thing I'm barking at, and I lose my courage. So, you know, with this whole idea of courage, Sam, I just think about often at night I'm laying in bed and I thought, you know, I failed to say the thing that needed to be said to somebody. And I don't mean necessarily always negative things. You know, it's something that's revealing a hard truth to another person, or a harmful truth, a harmful thing in their life, but even good things. And, or I failed to follow through and do this thing that I knew was the right thing to do. And, you know, I don't like that about myself, this lack of courage in certain areas of my life, in certain moments. It's just, often I think I wish I was a more courageous person.
You know, in ancient times, when there was a high mortality rate because you had marauding bands, you really did have plagues that were killing people. You really did. I mean, I think the statistic was, you know, one out of two children would make it to adulthood just because of all the different things that happened. And in ancient times, one of the highest virtues that was taught, they taught a virtue, which is courage, you know? And I don't think I ever had someone teach me the virtue of courage. Because I think nowadays people think, you know, how much do you really need courage? You know, how often are our lives really facing a threat? And so I think there's a way that most of us have, you know, I was taught discipline. I didn't necessarily take the lesson very well, but, you know, I was taught to sit and do my homework. I was taught to do my chores. I was taught the virtue of discipline of some sorts, whether I obeyed it or not is a different thing, but it was part of my education. But I don't think anyone in our modern society teaches courage. And I think it's mostly because people think we don't need it. But as you're saying, I think we do need courage in today's society. Now, it's not always physical events that we have to face, but there is a skill or a virtue, if you will, that I think ancient cultures taught, and I think spiritually we need, and that's the skill or the virtue of courage.
So, Sam, let me ask you, when there is a situation that requires courage, and again, it could be something that needs to be said, something that needs to be done, what do you think is really at play? That courage is needed. What do you think is really at play that we have to come up against?
I think the thing that is really at play, in a certain sense, is what is our greatest desire? What is in our deepest heart? What is our greatest desire? You know, in a certain sense, I was telling you, as a kid, all my friends called me a daredevil. But I think my heart's greatest desire was to look like the someone who was courageous. And so it wasn't like I was so afraid of skiing down a black diamond a little recklessly, because I was less afraid of getting hurt than I was afraid of losing my reputation, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and so in a certain sense, what we have to do is we have to say, what is my heart's greatest desire? And the World War II hero that was facing running down a machine gun nest, there's a lot of people who are less afraid of dying than they are afraid of shame. You know, how many times have we heard about the people who fall on their own sword rather than being captured? Now, part of it was a cultural thing, but part of it is people are more afraid of the shame because their heart's desire is some kind of esteem, some kind of recognition for success. And so I think courage and our heart's greatest desires are very closely linked. Or maybe I should say cowardice and our heart's greatest desires are linked.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I as I was just thinking about, times that required courage from me and whether I actually got the courage to do what needed to be done or didn't. I was thinking, if there was a word I needed to speak to a person or something I needed to do for someone, or I needed to step into a situation and I didn't, what was going on? And I thought, well, it's always a fear. And the fear really comes down to what was I afraid of either getting or not getting. It's really what you're saying. So if I, see something in someone's life and I can tell this has never been addressed and this poor man or woman, life never changes for them because no one ever said, do you realize that when you do this, this is the effect on other people? And I thought, well, if I don't say something, it's I'm afraid to lose a friendship. I'm afraid to lose acceptance. I'm afraid of rejection. I'm afraid of another person's anger. And I thought, boy, that really is what is causing my lack of courage. So I, as I was thinking about this before we got on, as I thought, what do I do with that? And I think fear can be really useful because it shows me what's really going on in my heart. If the thing that I sense I'm supposed to do or say, and I can't quite do it, I should be asking myself the question, why is it that I can't move or act or speak right now? And it really should then beg the question, why? Well, is my action or my words, is it about the benefit of the other person or my own benefit? And I thought, boy, when I'm afraid to do something that I need to do, lack courage, it's because it's all about my benefit, really, you know? Mm-hmm. Because I think courage comes in when we realize I will do what I need to do for that person or that situation. And it may cost me, but I'll do it for them. When it comes, if it's for me, that's a whole different game right there, you know?
But then I would argue what you're doing is, in a certain sense, you're reminding your heart what your heart's greatest desire is.
Right.
You know, you know, when you're about to say something to somebody that they need, and you know that you're going to say it graciously, but you're still scared to say it, you remind yourself, but I love this person. I want this person to do well. I want this person to overcome this barrier. And if you're sort of trying to stir your heart up, you're trying to fan the flame of what is your deepest desire. And your deepest desire is their good. And I think when we can fan the flame of our deepest desires, it helps us have courage to do the right thing in that moment.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. The desires that God puts in our heart, right, for the benefit of others, for good, for rightness, for and so on, right, that will give us the courage to act. I think it's the fleshly motives,
sure,
and desires that's where we go.
I'm going to lose my reputation. I'm going to lose my friendship. I'm going to lose my esteem, or I might be ashamed because I'm going to say something, it looks stupid or something.
Right. Exactly. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. So Sam, I think we all find different areas in our life that require more courage for ourselves than maybe for another person. Because, right, I've been in situations, sure, where, you know, someone will go, oh, I need to do this, but I'm really afraid. And I can look at them and go, well, I'll do it. You know, in other situations, I'm going, you do it. I'm not doing that. So what can you remember? What situations were you, besides jumping off a 10-meter platform, where you, I mean, finding the courage to do it, to say it, was a huge deal for you? Can you think of something that it tends, maybe it's unique for you, you come up against this often or not?
Well, I think growing up, part of the reason I thought I was courageous was because my dad was, from the outside, physically fearless. You know, we would do all kinds of stuff that looked scary, but most of my siblings have a certain kind of fearlessness on a certain level of physical stuff, you know. So I thought I was fearless. I thought I was courageous, but I really just wasn't that afraid. I would say last year at base camp. So base camp is this retreat that Gary and I do with a bunch of close friends once a year, people who have been on the calling retreats in the past. And at base camp, we have different talks that are given, and everybody gives a talk they've never given before. All the talks are brand new. What has God been teaching you recently? And you asked me, you said, Sam, why don't you do a talk on your new topic that you want to write your book on, you know, cultural creep. And I said to you, I realize that I'm scared to do it because I feel inadequate. You know, it was really a funny thing because this is something I've been studying for 10 years, 20 years. I would say I've been studying since college. And yet my fear wasn't in a certain sense that I don't know something about it because I've been studying it for decades. My fear was I'm going to do it inadequately. And it's so important to me. You know, there's a lot of things I do inadequately, honestly, you know, sometimes when I have to clean the bathrooms, I don't do the greatest job and I just don't care. But this thing is so important to me that I was afraid to do the talk on it because I was afraid I was going to be inadequate to the task. And I think that's because part of my heart's desire is to communicate this. It's really deep. And I felt like God had to say to me, Sam, just give what you have. That's all I'm asking you to do, is give what you have. I'm not asking you to, you know, get a Pulitzer Prize for it. I'm just asking you to offer what you have. And that enabled me to break the courage of thinking I was going to do a half-assed job.
Yeah. You know, I do remember that. And when you said you did kind of admit to me, I'm kind of scared to do this. I was amazed going, really? Because you could say, oh, this is simple now. And I understand what you're saying. I really do. Yeah, I think, you know, as I think about me, I think where I feel more fear than courage, and often I don't feel like I can press through with courage, is when I'm in a situation where I feel like I don't know what to do.
Absolutely.
I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do. If I jump in, I'm going to find I'm lost and it's going to turn out poorly. And yet most situations that, you know, that maybe require my presence are going to be like that. And I thought, you know, the good thing is, really, I think now I don't like being here in this place, but I think the good part about that is if I think, you know, I don't know if I know how to handle this and how to do this, that should be a good place of faith. Like, all right, God, here we go. Let's see you do your stuff. You know, let's see you shine in this moment. But it often doesn't feel like that, which kind of comes down to this whole idea of faith. You know, I think as I was thinking about this morning too, this idea of faith, you know, I was reading in Luke, I think it was chapter 18, and at the end of one of his parables, it was about the woman praying and going to the judge and asking again and again and again. And finally he said, listen, I'm afraid she's going to assault me, so I'm just going to go ahead and give it to her, which is really amazing because he says in the beginning in the parable, the judge thought, I do not fear God and I do not fear the opinions of other people. And yet he was becoming afraid of this woman, that she was going to assault him. But what's really seemed odd to me was he ends the parable going, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith in the earth?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's such an odd way to end this parable. And it just made me think about my, you know, would he find faith with me? And so many times when I am in a place without courage, it's because I really lack faith that he will come through. And more than likely, what I'm afraid of, it's about me. It's not about the other person. Those two things kind of ring out to me.
So you're triggering a thought for me, which is when we talk about faith, which I think courage and faith are inextricably linked. You know, in other words, true courage. So where I'm going is, what's the difference between true courage and counterfeit courage? Because I think the world shows all kinds of quote courage, but I don't know that it's true courage. And so you're talking about faith, but if you can, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you think of some examples of counterfeit courage? How does the world teach us to have courage? And even how do Christians sometimes teach us how to have courage?
Well, I mean, we've talked about this before, just sometimes the message that's sometimes given, you know, as Christianity is, you can do it, you have what it takes. Yeah, I knew that's what you were thinking too, you know, and it's just that, you know, everything will be all right. Just do it. And I think, yeah, I'm sure God's saying, no, actually, you can't just do it. You don't have what it takes. Rely on my spirit. Ask me to do this with you, to speak, you know, through you, ask me to fill you in these areas where you feel inadequate. But I do think that's the worldly, you know, just step forth in confidence and courage and you can get it done. That would be my thought to that question.
No, I completely agree with you. And I wasn't using those words, but the moment you said it, that sort of does resonate with me. There's a certain courage I think the world teaches, which is to look at ourselves with confidence. You know, you can do it, Gary, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. But where am I? What is the source of my courage? It's sort of a bravado. It's looking to me. And I don't think that's spiritual courage. I don't think that's godly courage. I mean, you know, it's just believe. And, you know, the Christian version is just believe. You know, you know that 3 or 4 years ago, I can't remember, I had cancer. And I wrote in an article, you know, I said, you know, I was talking to the doctor about my cancer, and some Christian wrote me and said, never call it my cancer, because now you've owned it. Just believe in God, it'll go away. And I'm thinking, I don't think you're looking at life with realistically when you say that. Now, I want to have faith in God, but, you know, Job had faith and things got worse, you know, or, you know, faith means I trust that God knows what's best. And what might be best at some time is for me to die. You know, that may, you know, and I'll be with heaven. As Paul says, I'd rather be up there than here, but right here is good service. But think of this. There was a woman on the Titanic. I never saw the movie, by the way, named, and I'm going to try to remember this, but her name was Edith Corse Evans. Edith Corse Evans, I think. And there's a plaque on for her somewhere in New York, but she was in line. She was the last to get on a lifeboat. And the woman behind her had children in New York, where Edith was either a single woman. She didn't have any children. She turned to the woman and said, you can have my seat because you have children. And so Edith died. She had courage. Now, she wasn't thinking, well, if I just give up my seat, I'll live. She was saying, if I give up my seat, I'm going to die. And yet she did it anyway. She wasn't looking at herself with courage, saying, if I just believe, I'll be able to swim 300 miles through the icy ocean to New York, or, you know, 1,000 miles. There's a kind of courage we have, which isn't this false bravado. There's a kind of courage where we just do the right thing, because I don't know if she's a believer, if she was a believer. To me, someone who's doing that, I'm getting a sense she was a believer. But mm-hmm. think of that. There is a counterfeit cultural courage that says, just look at yourself. And if you just believe, everything will work out. I don't think that's facing reality with courage. I think that's facing a dream.
Yeah. Well, I'm totally with you. I think when we come against something that requires courage, it comes down to fear. We're fearing something. And what is the fear about? And I think faith should come in, but not in the faith of, I can do this. I can pull this off. I think God just says, I think it's really a good place to be, of, okay, God, I will obey, but you have got to show up. You have got to do this through me. And I think that's real courage. And I love the idea that you're differentiating between, you know, belief in myself and belief in God. That's huge. That's huge. And I do think a lot of the messaging through Christianity, and it's not new to our era right now. Right. It's been around, but this, you know, just believe everything will be okay. You know, it's not reality.
It's not reality. I think true courage is facing reality with courage. I mean, if you're not facing reality, then I don't think it's true courage. You know, it's sort of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego story, where they're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. And they say to, I think it's Nebuchadnezzar, I can't remember for sure.
I think so.
And they say, our God is able to save us, but if not, in other words, but if he doesn't, we're still going to do the right thing. And so they're facing the reality. They're saying, I know God could save us, and I know he may not. We're going to do the right thing anyway. That is courage. It's facing my heart's greatest fear, but not looking at myself with courage, but looking to God. In some senses, changing, reminding myself of the truest desire, which is I want to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And serve his people.
Okay, so Sam, let me ask you this. We're talking about courage and in situations that require courage. So are we saying that every time we face something fearful to us, that we should just push against it and just do it anyway, every time?
No, that's a great point. I read this study once that said, there's in essence three kinds of personalities that we're born with. Some people are born to sort of run from conflict. Some people are born that run into conflict. And some people are born somewhere in between. I would need to look up this study. I wish I'd planned
I would think
advance.
That some people, I noticed that some people are born to create conflict. So but I don't think that was a
and
study.
The study was, you know, everybody gets it wrong at different times. There are times when you should run from, you know, the howitzer that's aiming right at you. You should just get out of the way. But there are other times that you should charge the machine gun nest, you know? And so courage is doing the right thing at the right time. But sometimes it's right to say, hey, you know what? That bear is a lot bigger than me, and it's probably better for me not to go outside of the car. You know, I mean, you know, we also want to use wisdom. And so I think there's a kind of foolish bravado that will always do the thing that looks that I think this is what I was guilty of as a kid, is I so wanted to look like the daredevil that I would face things that I probably shouldn't have. And you know, I've gotten a little wiser, I hope. So your question was, should we do everything that we're afraid of? Or is fear necessarily a helpful motivator for us? And I think at times it's a helpful motivator.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah. And I mean, that was a loaded question.
I think of Joseph when he's tempted by Potiphar's wife, he flees. I think that was a healthy thing. I think there was a spiritual fear where he says, if I sin, I'm sinning against God and you by doing this. And it's a healthy fear to run from that sin. So go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was thinking, as I'm thinking about my own life, you know, sometimes a situation may require that I don't say something. The bravest thing I can do is not say anything at this moment. Mm-hmm. Versus everything in me wants to just say this, maybe because of anger or I got to get this off my chest or something like that. So yeah, it really is a moment of discernment. What does courage require at this moment? Or what does faith require, we might say? And I think you're right. I think sometimes fear does warn us of a danger, you know, so that we aren't naive with it. You know, there's a, you know, you think of the illustration of you feel fear because you see who's walking down the sidewalk towards you late at night and you decide, I'm going to get on the other side of the street and keep walking. You know, that may be courage to resist the appearance of, you know, being unkind to the person walking down the street. Courage may be, I just have to walk across the other side of the street because something feels wrong about this versus, no, I'm going to face my fear and stay right here. I'm just saying, yeah, it's never black and white what courage actually looks like. But there is something in your heart that betrays itself of this is a lack of courage, what you want to do, or this requires courage right now. And it is courageous.
That's right. Fearing it doesn't mean you should do it. Any more than fearing it means you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, true courage is doing the right doing. True courage is understanding reality, partly, you know, like Edith Corse Evans, I think was her name. The reality was she would die. So true courage means facing reality. But I think it means sometimes getting something into our heart to do the right thing, despite our fears. And the right thing, as you said, might be just across the street. And it's a little humbling, and we don't want to be humble, you know, or it might be facing down someone because you're protecting someone else. You're protecting your family. And so therefore you have to face that stranger. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's doing the right thing. Part of it is the right thing, not just facing your courage or facing your fear, but it's just doing the right thing in that moment.
Yeah. So let's get personal with those who are listening to us about our own life. And let me start here. So I think about times when I, you know, courage is required. And so sometimes for me, I may be, for instance, in a meeting. And there is an issue being discussed and I feel passionate about it and I don't like the direction this is going. I have a different opinion of this issue and how to solve it or how to approach it. And sometimes I know courage is for me is to be quiet and let others speak for a while. Just let them talk it out before I come in. And many times I have violated that. I spoke up when I shouldn't have. I should have let other people, I should have deferred for a while and let them speak, as opposed to jumping right in, saying something, and I just changed the entire tone in the room at this point. And then many times when I didn't speak when I should have, because I didn't know how they would receive it. I didn't know if they thought I was speaking out of some sort of bias. I face that quite often, you know, in my life. And the other place where I can face the challenge of being courageous, I think a lot of times, is just with my own family. It feels like the consequences are big there. You know, a conversation or an issue that I have to have with my wife or one of my kids, I don't know how this is going to go. It has a good chance of going off the tracks, off the rails. I don't know once I get into this, how I'm going to land this thing, how I'm going to solve this. I may create more problems than what I initially saw. I find that, you know, where I have to reach down deep and ask God, give me the courage to do what you want me to do. Tell me what you want me to do. Assure me. Is it now? Is it later? Is it yes or is no? Probably less so in those situations than in, you know, creating something, whether it's, you know, one of our podcasts or it's a blog or it's a book or it's a video or something like that. But those are the moments that I feel most requires for me courage in my life.
You know, I resonate with your saying, sometimes there's a situation, it could be in a meeting or it could be in a family, in a relationship, where you know something has to happen. You know, things are going in the wrong direction. You know no one else is going to do it. You have a sense that God wants you or me to do it, and you're absolutely clueless about the right thing to do. I mean, that's a place where I need courage, because it's easier to be courageous in an area you have a competence in, you know, and if you're in a meeting and you know this is going the wrong direction and it's got to go somewhere else, but you don't have the words, you don't have this plan, you got to sort of just say, you guys, this isn't right, but you don't even know what is right. I mean, that takes courage. Now, if you know the exact answer, it's a little easier to be suave and put together and sophisticated and give the right answer. But what about when you don't have the right words and you don't have the right way to articulate and you know that you're going to look a little stupid? I think that's a way we all face courage or fear every day. You know, it could be at work, it could be at church, it could be in family, it could be with friends. Something's going wrong and we don't know how to fix it. But God's saying, I want you to do something.
You know.
And we're saying, oh, just give me something I know how to do.
Right.
I think you're absolutely right.
And I think about the two quotes I've given before that I've heard from other people is, you know, speaking of our cultural moment, that, you know, now what was once unthinkable is now unquestionable. The things that we see endorsed, encouraged, approved of in our culture, you know, that we would never have thought of. And now we're afraid to say anything, to speak truth. And then the other thing I heard was, you know, we're more afraid to tell the truth than we are to tell a lie. And I feel that. I feel like there are things that I must speak to. And hopefully that when I feel that, it is a prompting of God versus something else in me. But I feel the fear to speak to it. One, because I know it's volatile. And secondly, I'm not really sure if I have, you know, thought through it well enough that I can debate or argue this idea to bring the truth in such a way that someone would say, you're right, versus, oh, you're just one of those foolish, you know, Christian people. I just think there is a lot of courage required today in the culture that we live in, which does infect our family, our church, and everything.
I, those two quotes that I think we've repeated a few times over the last 6 months, I think they should be repeated almost every month because I think they do capture our cultural moment. You know, the one is what used to be unthinkable is now unquestionable. Is that the right one?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the second one is we're now more afraid to tell the truth than we are to tell a lie.
Yes.
And, you know, I would say one thing that when I try to think of the places, you know, when I write my book about cultural creep, it is against this culture. And I think when I think about it, it takes courage. I think one advantage we have over any other religion is, in a certain sense, Jesus faced the biggest fear we'd ever have. He faced what death was. You know, for me, for us, you and I know that if we die, we're going to go to heaven. And so death isn't as scary as annihilation or hell or eternal suffering. I mean, you know, none of us want to go through the process, mind you, but, you know, the end results of it isn't so bad. But I think one of the things that we have that other religions don't have is our God had to have courage. You know, Jesus had courage on the cross when he faced Pilate, when he faced the Sanhedrin. And I think seeing him have courage, I think at times can give me courage. If he would do that for me, I can do this little thing for him. I think sometimes seeing him be courageous for me, in my place in a certain sense, gives me courage, hopefully, to tell the truth and not a lie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good. Such a good reminder. You know, everything should come back down to the gospel. And that's where you brought us. And I did think, what is that scripture where Jesus said, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but those who can kill, but he who can kill the soul?
Right.
You know, right. Because we know that that's the soul, eternal, there's eternal life, and that's eternal. It's not a moment like this world is. And yeah, so that's such a good reminder. And just living as Jesus did for the benefit of another person, right? I will say this thing, I will do this thing because it's for you I do it, not for me. And I may have to suffer for your sake, but I'm willing to do that because, you know, love will allow us to sacrifice our life for another person.
That's good, Gary. I think that's a good point to end on.
I think so, too. I don't have the courage to go any further.
Maybe I have the discernment not to go on.
Yeah, that's true. That's reality. So this is good. Sam, I know that in our friendship, we want to keep encouraging each other. Give us the courage to walk into what we need to with our relationships, with our calling, you know, in this world and our place in this world. So we try to do this for each other. And I know we are hoping that this is giving courage and encouragement to others as we do this, and that we would all find other people that we could do this for each other personally.
I agree, where we can be encouraged and we can encourage. Mm-hmm. See you next week, Gary.
All right. Fun. See you, Sam. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Please join us by following this podcast or liking it. And visit our websites, thenobleheart.com and beliefsoftheheart.com for more resources in living the eternal life with God today. You'll find articles, videos, and online classes. See you next week.